In the words of William Faulkner, he said, they killed us, but they ain't whooped us yet. But they ain't whooped us yet.
Sure feels like they whooped us.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It's not. More than
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Yes, a little bit scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in.
From Pacifica Radio on the day after, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, up in Oregon on 91.7 FM KYAQ on the Central Coast, 106.7 FM Queso in Cottage Grove, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on 93 FM WLRI News Radio, in Hawaii on 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN 94.1 FM, in Palinville, New York on 102.9 FM WLPP, and in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We are also streaming coast to coast and around the globe on the intertubes as long as they keep them up. On the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Revolution 99, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik, blanketing planet Earth 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. So, what's going on? The day before Election Day, in essentially my final argument before the election, in a broadcast that we had called Believe Nothing and Other Good Advice on the Day Before Election Day, I had, among other things to say, this. Anybody who thinks that this election is going to just end with a nice, easy Election Day, anybody who thinks that's going to happen has not been paying attention to this insane election season. So I suspect there's going to be still many surprises between now and then, just as there has been from the jump. And frankly, even if all goes well at this point, it goes smoothly, that alone would be a surprise. That would be a huge surprise at this point. Maybe that would be the capper. In any event, stay skeptical. But stay calm. Help your fellow voters between now and the end of Election Day and Election Night. Maybe we can all pull together, somehow get through this together. That would be nice as a country, as a nation, as we should. But until then, stay skeptical. Believe nothing. I went on to tell folks on Monday to plead with folks over and over again, as I have been for a very long time, to take nothing for granted, to believe nothing that you are hearing from the candidates or the pollsters or the corporate media, that an election like this was not going to just end happily with Hillary Clinton winning easily, Donald Trump thanking her, walking away gracefully. I tried to tell folks that on Monday, that the most extraordinary election in U.S. history, full of surprises, insane surprises, every single day since Trump came down that escalator to announce his candidacy and that Mexicans were rapists, that campaign, that election likely had more surprises ahead in the final 24 hours. Well, surprise. The good news, more Americans apparently voted against the president-elect of the United States than for him. At least 200,000 more votes were reportedly cast for Hillary Clinton than for Donald Trump in this election. That number will likely increase in the days ahead as absentees and provisional ballots are tallied. So at least we got that going for us as a nation. Small comfort, I realize, as Donald Trump has now been declared the president-elect of the United States. But Despite Clinton having won the popular vote, we don't, as I cautioned over and over and over again also on this program, we do not run national presidential elections. We run 50 state elections all on the same day. And it is there that reportedly Donald Trump has won the presidency. I think only Michigan right now, as we go to air, has yet to be called by the media, though Trump appears to be leading there, too. The results, I will add, from no states are officially canvassed and certified at this point. In fact, almost none of the actual votes cast yesterday or during early voting have actually been tabulated by human beings. Almost all have been tallied only by computers, either correctly or incorrectly. We may never know unless human beings actually bother to count those ballots, at least where they are available. We can never know how Americans actually voted at all on the 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems that are still used throughout the country, including in key states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio. All as we have also cautioned for a very, very long time, both on the broadcast and at BradBlog. So for today, in any event, we are talking about the results as reported. As reported by the media and the computers, because at the moment, that is largely all that we have to go on at this hour. Politico reports that the Republican National Committee, despite its sometimes testy relationship with Donald Trump, publicly predicted in the campaign's final days that its presidential nominee was going to win, but privately, the committee was much less optimistic. The RNC's sophisticated predictive modeling had Trump losing in the campaign's last stretch, all the way until Friday afternoon before the election, according to an embargoed briefing that the RNC delivered to reporters at the party's Capitol Hill headquarters on that Friday afternoon. At the time of the briefing, Politico says, the RNC's model showed Trump finishing 30 electoral votes short of the tally needed to clinch the White House, while losing by various margins to Hillary Clinton in the battleground states of Florida, Iowa, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, all of which, I should add, Donald Trump has reportedly now won instead of lost, as the RNC thought he was going to do. Trump won all of those states, they say, and the Associated Press declared him the winner at 2:31 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. A shocking upset victory that most pollsters struggled to explain. The fact that even the models put together by Trump's own National Party committee weren't forecasting a victory is a testament to just how much the outcome confounded conventional metrics, reports Ken Vogel over at Politico. So even the pollsters don't understand it. Ari Berman, our friend over at The Nation today, notes that there were 25 debates during the presidential primaries and general election and not a single question about the attack on voting rights, even though this was the first presidential election in 50 years without the full protection of the Voting Rights Act. 14 states had new voting restrictions in place for the first time in 2016, including crucial swing states like Wisconsin and Virginia, yet we heard nary a peep about it on Election Day, except from outlets like The Nation, Ari Berman. This was the biggest undercovered scandal of the 2016 campaign, he writes. Oh, you did hear about it here on the broadcast, by the way. For example, he writes, 27,000 votes currently separate Trump and Clinton in Wisconsin. 27,000 votes currently separate Trump and Clinton in Wisconsin, where 300,000 registered voters, according to a federal court, lacked the strict forms of photo ID now needed to vote in Wisconsin. You got that? 27,000 votes separated Trump and Clinton. 300,000 registered voters don't have the type of ID now needed to vote in Wisconsin. Voter turnout in Wisconsin was at its lowest levels in 20 years. I wonder why that happened. And it decreased 13% in Milwaukee, where 70% of the state's African-American population lives. That, according to Daniel Nakanian of the University of Chicago. Remember those photo ID laws I drive you crazy about all year around? Not just in the days right before the election, but all year around, and the years before that, and the years before that. Ari goes on to write, how many people were turned away from the polls? How many others didn't bother to show up in the first place because they didn't think they had the right type of ID? These are questions we need to take far more seriously, he says. In 2014, a study by Rice University and the University of Houston of Texas's 23rd Congressional District found that 12.8% of registered voters who didn't vote in the election cited lack of required photo ID as the reason that they did not cast a ballot. 12.8% down in Texas. On Election Day, there were 868 fewer polling places in states across the country with a long history of voting discrimination, like Arizona, Texas, and North Carolina. These changes to the polling place impacted hundreds of thousands of voters, yet received almost no coverage. In North Carolina, black turnout decreased 16% during the first week of early voting because in 40 heavily black counties, there were 158 fewer early polling places in North Carolina. Even if these restrictions had no outcome on the election, Ari writes, and I will add, we just do not know at this time. We don't know what the impact was in full. But he says, even if it had no outcome on the election, it's fundamentally immoral to keep people from voting in a democracy. Even more so, the media devoted hours and hours to Trump's absurd claim that the election was rigged against him while spending precious little time on the real threat that voters faced. Very little. When it really mattered, he concludes, too many in the media treated the right to vote as a fringe issue instead of the most fundamental issue in the election. And by the way, my thanks, Ari says something nice about us in that article, and my thanks to Ari for his heroic work on covering concerns about voter suppression and trying like hell to get people's attention, to get them to pay attention, to get them to be concerned about it, to get them to understand this is not a fringe issue. I will, of course, continue to look at all of these numbers and all of these results and the questions about exactly how many Americans lost their right to vote on Tuesday. There will be a lot of that in the days and the weeks and the months and now, unfortunately, the years ahead. If I'm a Democrat today, by the way, I'd call for a hand count of every goddamn state and every goddamn race that I could. That's not available, of course, where there are 100% unverifiable touchscreens that are used. Many places in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia use 100% unverifiable touchscreens still. And as we have said for years, the fact is pretty much every result on Tuesday was reported by a computer, either rightly or wrongly. There is no way to know without counting the paper ballots. But do I believe the election was stolen? No, not right now. Though perhaps it was. We cannot know. But because we deserve to know as voters, as Americans, in a theoretically representative democracy, we need to know. We should know. And if Democrats stand up for anything, they should stand up for what? Democracy, yeah, and counting ballots so that we can know they've been counted and counted accurately. So we are reminded once again today, in an extraordinarily painful way for many of us, why democracy and the right to vote and the right to have those votes counted and counted accurately in a way that we can know that they've been counted accurately, why all of that actually matters. Now, I've had a lot to say about this election. I will have much more to say about it in the future for quite a while, as I say, unfortunately, for many years. The corporate media has also had much to say, much of it apparently completely wrong. So they are busy now trying to figure out how they went so wrong today. They're trying to figure out who to blame. But of course, it seems like they got it wrong in the first place, so why should we listen to them now? Why would they get it right now? I was going to play some of Trump's victory speech from Tuesday night, some of Clinton's concession speech today, when she noted that our constitutional democracy demands our participation, not just every 4 years, but all the time. It's going to play some remarks from Obama, his comments in the Rose Garden about the need for a peaceful transfer of power. But you know what? In truth, on a day like today, I've heard enough of those people right now. I would rather listen to you. I'd rather listen to you than them. I'd rather listen to you than me. As I suspect, a few of you may have a few things to share over your public airwaves. And I say this a lot, but hopefully it's starting to sink in today. Use those public airwaves before you lose them more than you already have. Our phone number is 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. You can also tweet me if you prefer. I am the Brad Blog on the Twitters, and I'll try to keep my eyes on it throughout the show. Who or what is to blame for what happened on Tuesday? Now's a good time to start getting it out. I will try to shut up and let you speak to all of us, because I know that you probably have a lot to say, a lot to scream, a lot to be frightened of, a lot to think about this extraordinary election and these incredible results on this incredible day after Election Day. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Bradcast and you right here on it on your public airwaves while we still have them. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't go away. Yep. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com on the day after. The day after that we have been warning you about for so many months right here on the Bradcast while everyone else was looking the other way, was laughing about it. In any event, we'll do details in the days ahead. We will talk about what it all means, what the hell we can do about it, and much more. But for today, let's just hug it out together, shall we? Or scream it out together. We are all in this together. My phone number is 818-985-5735. Phone lines are, already full. So who or what is to blame for Hillary Clinton's reported loss to, yes, President-elect Trump? Some suggestions here in no particular order. Is it racism? Is it sexism? Is it xenophobia? Third-party voters? Third-party candidates? Is it the Constitution and its electoral college scheme? How about citizens who didn't bother to vote at all? How about FBI Director James Comey? WikiLeaks? The corporate media? The independent media? Is it my fault? It might be. Is it the pollsters' fault? Is it the voter suppression? Is it the voting machines? Is it the candidate's fault, Hillary Clinton? Is it the Democratic Party for putting its thumb on the scale against Bernie Sanders? Is it the Republican Party's fault for not doing more to keep its party from becoming the party of Donald Trump? Is it something else that I haven't thought of? Because I suspect many, many feel this same way today, irrationally, but nonetheless, I can't help but feeling like this was somehow all my fault. Really. Even though I know that it wasn't. I know that makes no sense. I know that since day one, since June 16, 2015, I have been warning over and over again, 5 days a week on the Bradcast, that this could very well actually happen. While everyone else thought it was a joke, it could never happen, I kept trying to say, yes, absolutely it could happen. And now it seems to have happened. So why? Who needs to be held accountable for it? 818-985-5735 is our phone number. I want to go straight to Mark here, because I think Mark called in last week and kept getting hung up on with our problem with our phones. Yeah. Hi, hey, Mark from Thousand Oaks. How are you, sir? Hey.
Well, I'll pick up where I left off. I'm unfortunately pretty sick to death today about all this, and I'm not in a hugging mood, so I'm probably going to shout out a little bit more.
Go for it.
I had been calling, and you've been so gracious to take my calls through the last month. Since the New York primary, I was always calling about the Bernie or bust movement. But what I used were the words, the perfect storm, and that I was concerned it would be a combination of voter suppression and that third party. Now, when I had brought up, you know, the conscious vote, I got slammed by a lot of people calling me Hillary and all this. And I basically said, yeah, you can vote your conscience, but it's going to come down. It's a binary choice. And if you don't vote for Hillary, it's going to be means that you don't care about your vote. So when I had called about Nader in 2000, of course, I got hammered about the it's an urban myth. Nader didn't have anything to do. And I agree about the Catherine Harris Supreme Court. That's not what I wanted to draw your attention to. But unfortunately, I never got it out. When the phones hung up, I wanted to mention that in New Hampshire, I had spent a lot of time doing this study, and I looked at the statistics in New Hampshire 2000, and there had been 22,198 votes for Nader. Now, they didn't have any exits in New Hampshire. Polls in Florida showed that 60 to 61% of those in Florida would have voted for
Go ahead, because I want to bring it up from 2000 to 2016, even though I do understand they're right. related, Mark.
So in 2016, yeah. I mean 2000, if you put, you know, New Hampshire is a bluer state than Florida, you're going to end up with 66-67%. So basically, he did throw that election based on New Hampshire. That's all we needed, where that was four votes. Forget Florida.
Okay, we're still at 2000. I want to get to 2016, so, Mark.
So that's all I was saying is last week is I wish the people would not take it, you know, that there's a perfect storm, that we can't vote our conscience if you're in a swing state, and that these things could happen. And that's kind of it.
And in fact, they did. Steve Bannon notes today that in Florida, Hillary Clinton lost about 1.4% of the vote to Trump. But if Jill Stein's supporters and half of Gary Johnson's backers had voted Democratic, Trump would have lost the state. Similarly, in Pennsylvania, Clinton lost by about 1% of the vote. But if Jill Stein's supporters and half of Gary Johnson's backers had voted Democratic, Trump would have lost the state. He goes through a few. In Wisconsin, Clinton lost about 1% of the vote. But if Stein's supporters hadn't voted Democrat, Trump would have lost the state. And in Michigan, Clinton appears to be on track to lose by about 0.3% of the vote. But if just half of Stein supporters had voted Democratic, Trump would have lost the state. That said, let me say this, Mark. I don't like blaming voters for how they vote. And I've tried to point that out on this show for a long time. And as we've been going through the campaign and talking about the third party, people have been calling in, for Jill Stein, for Gary Johnson, Bernie or bust folks. And, I want people to vote the way they want to vote, but I want them to understand the effect that their vote has. And well, this calling, is I'm the effect.
Yeah. I'm not calling to place blame. I'm just saying they own this. They need to own it.
All right. Hey, Mark, good to hear from you. Thanks, man. And I appreciate you calling back. You bet.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Let me go to 818-985-5735 if you can get through. A lot of people calling in. Stephanie in L.A. Hey, Stephanie, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Mark.
No, Brad.
Sorry, Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Brad, I wanted to just let you and the people know that we, the people, are to blame. No matter who you vote for, get out and vote. And there's a high percentage of people who are not exercising the right to vote. I don't think that, you know, people have to remember that women couldn't get the right to vote until 1920, and we're not really exercising that right. So no matter who you vote for, go out and vote. And another thing as well I wanted to say, I think that there are a lot of people who were for Donald Trump who were very in the closet about it, I'd like to say. They were not open about it. I think that there's a lot of people out there who wanted Trump to win and were not being open about it for fear of, you know, people maybe putting them down for whatever reason. I think that was another big part. But I just want to let you know, I'm a teacher for LAUSD, and I've let my eighth grade students know that they, 4 years from now, or, you know, 5 years from now, they're going to have that right to vote when they turn 18. and how powerful if they unite together to vote for who they feel would be the best candidate. And that's all I really have to say, that our future, you know, is in the hands of our students, and we got to, you know, we have to let them know that this right to vote is so important and to just go out there and do it.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Sure. Thank you.
Really appreciate the call. And you. A lot of people writing in on the Twitters. Paige Turner sends a note to the Brad blog on Twitter. The DNC should have been doing all the things you just said after 2000. I think that refers to the, you know, calling for hand-counted ballots and so forth. Van Jones should be the new head of the DNC. Paige Turner says, Stuart Dobson says the left need to take some of the blame for failing to offer a coherent progressive platform. It needs to reform itself now. Zero Badillion says, I blame the Democrats becoming the party of war and Wall Street. Hillary Rodham Clinton couldn't even beat her self-selected opponent. And our old friend D.R. Tucker says, Brad, I do like blaming voters for how they vote if they vote for a goddamn climate denier. And apparently they did. Let's go to Alberto in Los Angeles. Hey, Alberto, welcome back to the Bradcast. Who would you like to blame today?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Been better.
I'd like to blame, I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to blame the corporate media, you know, CNN, all those, you know, that gave Trump all that airtime. I'm also a teacher, and today, you know, was a very, very difficult day trying to, you know, answer 1,000 questions, but mainly just trying to figure out a way to explain to my students, you know, that, you know, although, you know, the people spoke and, you know, we live in a democracy, you know, that's the way it should have worked. It should have happened. You know, people elect, you know, who they wanted to elect. But trying to reconcile that with the fact that, you know, that this man is, you know, racist and bigot and all those things, you know, that he has demonstrated. Just trying to reconcile that with the students who were asking, like, why? How did this happen? You know, like, I thought, you know, this was impossible. And, you know, it was very, like I said, you know, it was very, very difficult to try to do that. And I think part of the reason is, you know, that a lot of, you know, our students, you know, saw that Trump got a lot of airtime. You know, through the corporate media. And so they're, in their eyes, they're saying, wow, this guy, you know, is given the opportunity to talk the way he does. And he's given the time to criticize people and to paint, you know, people in a really negative light. How is it that, you know, we allowed him to become president? You
well,
know, those are the type of questions that I was getting.
Now, I would also say, you know, if your students were wondering how is this possible, and I think you rightly blame the corporate media for painting the picture that, well, of course she's going to win. There's no way, you know, Donald Trump is actually going to win. And this has been, they've been doing this now for months and months. They've been treating it as if it's a joke. As if it's a reality show, instead of letting people know that, yes, when people turn out to vote, I mean, you know, I remember 2004. I remember 2000 when George W. Bush reportedly won both times. Hell, I remember Reagan, you know, going into that election thing. It's not possible that Ronald Reagan could win, but he did. And, the corporate media does not help people understand just how important their vote is. Alberto, I appreciate it. I really appreciate your call, and good luck with the kids. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Thank you. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Let's go to Barbara in L.A. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the Bradcast. Who would you like to blame today?
Well, I don't know if blame's the right word, but I think Hillary conceded too soon. I think there needs to be more recounting of the votes, and I just think she conceded too soon, and I'll listen off the air.
All right. Well, I think there needs to be more counting of the votes. We haven't actually counted them in the first place. We run them through computers, either right or wrong. Who knows? You know, yeah, we need to stand up and demand that we have ballots that can be counted and that actually are counted. Because, you know, this election, by the way, could have very easily gone a different way. A state or two to Hillary Clinton. And then she would have been declared the president-elect, and you would have had Donald Trump claiming there was fraud and that the voting machines were flipping votes and that we can't trust the computers, and I would be in the place where I would have to agree with Donald Trump. That's an incredibly dangerous way to run a democracy. As I have been saying over and over and driving people crazy, and I am sorry for driving you crazy, but someone's got to take that drive, I guess. Hey, Richard in Santa Barbara, welcome to the broadcast. Who would you like to blame today?
Yes, hi, Brad.
Hey.
I don't know if it would be the DNC or the Rahm Emanuel or whoever was running the agenda for the Obama administration in 2009, but there are two basic truisms, I believe. One, that the Republican Party is set up to be a minority exclusive party, and two, that Democrats do well in elections when there is higher voter turnout. And having lived through 2000, having done, you know, work with black box voting in 2004 to try and understand what happened in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It was obvious that, you know, there was going to be one opportunity when Obama had both majorities in the House and the Senate to do something long lasting and fundamentally important to improve our voting system. And that opportunity was not taken. You know, very good things like Obamacare, which now is in, I think, serious jeopardy, were done instead. But to me, that's being in a democracy. That's where everything starts. Is, you know, if you've got more supporters, that doesn't mean much unless those supporters can be registered, unless those supporters' votes are allowed to actually cast votes, and those ballots are actually counted properly. And without those things, you can have 60-70% of the population on your side, but if they're only being counted at half of their value as opposed to your opponents, you are going to lose, and you're going to end up with the situation we have today.
And I think you're talking, when you say if they're only counted for half of their value, I think you're talking about Bev Harris of Black Box Voting has come out with this report finding that what she calls fraction magic, essentially weighting the votes, that there is functionality apparently built into the voting systems. We had her on broadcast last Friday to talk about this. Functionality built into the computers, the vote tabulation systems across the country that allow some votes to be weighted more than others. So my vote counts for 1.2 votes. Your vote counts for 0.8 of a vote. They add them up together. And what do you know? There's two votes, your and mine. So the count is right. Nobody thinks to look. But in fact, my vote was ended up being worth more than yours. And I'm doing a real shorthand here to try to explain this. You can go to bradblog.com. You can download that program from Friday, where I talked to Bev about that at some length. We don't know. Let me be clear. We don't know that was used in this election. But she says that the functionality is in the machines that are made by Diebold and Hart InterCivic and Sequoia and Dominion, essentially. And I think ES&S. And that's essentially all of the machines pretty much that are used across the country. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, when you see in North Carolina, two reporters simultaneously, one is in a suburban white neighborhood polling site with no line, and another is in a, you know, Charlotte city black community site with hundreds, maybe even more people waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty self-evident that those votes are not being valued in the same way as the other votes.
Well, that's true, yeah, in and of itself, just from the vote suppression, just from making it harder to vote in those areas. Yep.
And you have been involved with this for quite some time, and so that's why I wanted to introduce this question about 2009, because, you know, it's been a problem. It was a huge, well-documented story in both 2000 and 2004, Democrats, I'm sure, were saying, goodness, we got to do something about this voter suppression. We got to do something so that when we do our get out the vote things, that these people are actually, when they arrive at the poll, are on the registration rolls and are allowed to cast a ballot, and their machine doesn't malfunction or any of these other little tricks and glitches that prevent those votes from being cast. And yet it wasn't done. And I know that Bev and others were
No, they were,
saying,
and
look, we were going. Yeah. We got to do something and, here. There's problems.
Yeah, and Richard, and I got to move on because there's a lot of folks here who want to get through. But yeah, they should have done something when they had the chance. That said, when they did have the chance, they were putting forward crappy bills that would not have made things any better. Unfortunately, or not much better when it came to electronic voting systems and when it came to voter suppression issues. Well. That wasn't until 2013 where they really turned the screws by the U.S. Supreme Court gutting the Voting Rights Act. So they should have done more. They should have continued doing more. And yes, they should be talking about it every goddamn day because nothing else matters if people can't get in and vote, have their vote counted, and know it was counted accurately. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate the call.
Thank you so much for your work, Brad.
You bet. And yours yours in return for those many years. Let me go to, Nancy. We'll get to a break in a second, but let me go real quick to Nancy in Chino Hills. Hey, Nancy, welcome to the Bradcast. Who do you blame?
I blame the fact that people believe what they hear if you repeat it enough times. I don't think anybody but me noticed that Donald Trump continually repeated himself, and I blame The Apprentice because he's like a TV actor. All those people in the red states, I'm not racist, but all the rednecks who aren't educated, they see him as a movie star. Yeah, whatever he said, he didn't have to back it up. He had no platform. He just said what he wanted to say, and everybody believed it. I went to bed last night at 10 o'clock because I was having, like palpitations because I didn't think this could happen. Mm. You know,
yeah.
I'm a college-educated person, put myself through college. I see things are just going to get worse for everybody because he doesn't have to stand up to anything he said. Why would he? He's a tax evader. He's a sexual predator. He's a liar. And he is probably dancing around, you know, in his little Trump Tower right now, laughing at the American public.
Thanks, Nancy. I appreciate that call. And go easy. Be kind to yourself. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to everyone else. As I said, we are all going through this together. Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back with many more of your calls. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK on the day after. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. That's it. One foot in front of the other. We will get through this together. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Our phone number is 818-985-5735. Bernie Sanders just put out a statement saying Donald Trump tapped into the anger of a declining middle class that is sick and tired of establishment economics, establishment politics, and the establishment media. People are tired of working longer hours for lower wages, of seeing decent paying jobs go to China and other low wage countries, of billionaires not paying any federal income taxes and not being able to afford a college education for their kids, all while the very rich become richer. He adds, to the degree that Mr. Trump is serious about pursuing policies that improve the lives of working families in this country, I and other progressives are prepared to work with him. To the degree that he pursues racist, sexist, xenophobic, and anti-environment policies, we will vigorously oppose him. It's Bernie Sanders' statement today on Donald Trump. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Our old friend Morris from Long Beach. Hey, Mo, welcome to the Bradcast on the day after, my friend.
Dr. Freeman?
Yes, sir.
The answer is the Electoral College is the reason why Mrs. Clinton lost. I have a question for you, Doctor.
Yes.
What do George Bush and Donald Trump have in common?
George Bush and what do George W. Bush and Donald Trump have in common?
Yeah, Mr. 2000 Bush and today's Donald Trump. What do they both have in common?
Oh, boy. Too many things to list, but what did you have in mind?
They were both become presidents, but they were not democratically elected. Mr. Trump did not get the most votes. Mrs. Clinton got the most votes, mm-hmm. and Mr. Bush did not get the most votes. Mr. Gore got the most votes. And
yep.
If you would allow convicts to vote down in Florida, we wouldn't be talking about third candidates. But yep. It's your Electoral College, and you're talking about your Heritage Foundation and your Cato Foundation. They don't want everybody voting. And you're the only man I've heard. That's why I love you, Dr. Freeman. That's why you're a doctor. Only one person in this country of over 300 million people uses the words election fraud, which, of course, is tied into voter suppression. So, you know, this is coming, but I'm glad it happened in this respect. There's a blessing here. Believe me, folks, there's a blessing. We got a crash coming, and them boys got the governor now, Dr. Freeman. Let's see what they do. Talk to you later.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Mo. And to be clear, I'm not actually a doctor. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Patricia in Sherman Oaks. Hey, Patricia, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. You're a doctor of life.
Thank you. You're kind. So who do you blame, Patricia?
I blame both the Electoral College and also the media. I think the media got a lot of money, all the talking heads, all the pundits made a fortune on showing Donald Trump and you know, making him into something, just a monster that we have now in the White House, or that's going to be in the White House. And then the Electoral College, we need to do something. What can we do to change that so that the popular vote wins? It's not right that we're deprived of the
You have to change. Yeah, you have to change the Constitution, which is not easy. Which, but it can be done. It used to be done a lot more. But now, you know, to do it, people have to participate in the vote. I mean, it's just sort of a catch-22 here. But they have to start participating, not just every 4 years in a presidential election. They have to start participating in the political process. They have to vote every time there's an election. And that's what can change the Electoral College if you're serious about changing the Constitution. It's hard to do. Patricia, we had to drop her there because of the noise. Thanks, Patricia. I appreciate your call. You have to get involved in the process. Democracy, is it Hartman who always says it's not a spectator sport, or is that Desi Doyen who says it's not a spectator sport? Either way, you have to get involved. You can't wait for someone else to do it. And for those of you who cast your protest vote by not voting at all, this is what you got. Your vote, not at all, ultimately becomes a vote for, in this case, Donald Trump. And again, I'm not going to criticize you for that if that's what you wanted. If you wanted Donald Trump to become president, congratulations, that has happened. I might suggest a more effective way to do that is to actually get out and cast a vote for Donald Trump. But short of that, if you think this protest vote, staying home, is going to make a difference, I suspect it won't. Ryan in Los Angeles, welcome to the broadcast, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, been better.
I know. I'm 57, and I love the 70s. I love the 60s. I don't know what happened in the 90s. Everything changed. And you want to ask me, who do I want to blame?
Yeah.
I'd like to blame the citizens for allowing themselves to be coerced by the media and the government.
Mm-hmm.
They put these three stooges on the stage for us to vote for. Are you serious? There's other people, other candidates that are well-qualified over them.
Who are these three stooges you're talking about, Ryan?
Well, Bernie Sanders as Curly, Trump as Larry, and Hillary as Mull. With the short hair. They all fit the criteria.
Really?
Of course.
All right. Bernie Sanders is one of the stooges as you see it? Because I think he gave someone, whether you like Bernie or not, he gave voters something to vote for. And I don't know if Hillary ever actually gave voters something to vote for. And by the way, Donald Trump gave something, gave voters something to vote for, to make America great again, to build a wall full of hate, full of terrible things and things he probably won't ever be able to do. But he gave them something to vote for. Republicans do that. They gave them the contract with America back in the 90s. They gave them something to vote for. And I think that's a key here. Ryan, I got to move on because I want to try to get to a bunch of callers. I appreciate your thought, though. Thank you. Let's go 818-985-5735. Miranda in Hyde Park. Hey, Miranda, welcome to the broadcast. Who would you like to blame today?
Hi, Dr. Freeman. I would like to blame two things. The Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Hillary was a beneficiary in...
You mean the Democratic National Committee, not the convention, right?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean the committee. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Where they did everything that they could to depress exposure of Bernie Sanders or anybody mm-hmm. who had more to say than Hillary did. And I believe that technically Hillary stole that nomination, and I feel like she is now a beneficiary, or now this is to her detriment, because the same thing, a lot of stuff that she was saying was nowhere near what Bernie Sanders was saying, didn't have a lot of solidity to it, it didn't have a lot of teeth to it. Bernie Sanders actually made her start to say things that mm-hmm. were valuable to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that too many people did not believe that she was genuine. The next thing I believe is a big issue here, bear with me, is the self-deprecation of women that they still go through. When I looked at the numbers of women who actually voted for Trump, when it was these words that he used out of his own mouth, I would think that there are still way too many, many women out there who still believe that they are not as good as men, they cannot do as good of a job as a man, and they still needed somebody to lead them in, hold their hand and bring them to the quote-unquote promised land, which is the American dream. Those are the two things that I think that really happened here.
So even though Hillary won with women reportedly like 16% or something, you feel there still should have been more women voting for her or in any event not voting for Donald Trump?
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, Miranda. I really do appreciate the call. And
I really appreciate you, Brad. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. And once again, to be clear, I am not a doctor, although I'm sure my mother is delighted hearing you call me that. Let's go to Zane in Hermosa Beach. Hey, Zane, welcome to the broadcast. Who would you like
to
blame?
Brad, how's it going? So I think what's not being talked about enough is the media. I think in the primaries, medias, they're all essentially private companies, and what they're in the business of is good ratings, and Trump gave them that. Trump gave them great ratings, and I mean, I remember in the primaries, the media covered an empty Trump podium while Bernie Sanders was giving a speech, and I just think that's absolutely ridiculous. I think mm-hmm. that, people say that any publicity is good publicity, and I think that with Trump, that was absolutely true, and I think the media just hyped him up. Every single day you flip on the news and you see Trump, and even though a lot of the stuff that was going on with him wasn't great stuff. I mean, he wasn't a conventional politician, so it didn't matter. I mean, his ratings kept going up, and they talked about him all the time. And the primary turned into like a freaking reality TV show, in my opinion. It was ridiculous. And then he won the primary, and then it's like, okay, well, now this got a little serious. And also, the media in the primary reported that Hillary had already secured enough superdelegates to win the primary, deterring people who were voting for Bernie to go out and vote before all the votes were even counted.
Yeah, they just passed on what and this is the way the DNC has it set up with their superdelegate system, and the superdelegates said they were going to vote for Hillary, and therefore the media reported it as if it was a fact, as if that's what was going to happen. And by the way, when you say blame the media, I want to not only blame the media, but I want to do something about the media, which is to say, and a lot of folks who are listening here live today on KPFK probably already know this, And we tell people all the time to support BradBlog, but support your independent media, whatever it is, whether it's BradBlog.com, whether it's KPFK, whether it's whatever affiliate you're listening to this show right now. It's probably not a commercial affiliate. We are on a couple of commercial airwaves, but it's probably a nonprofit, or you have one that you rely on, that you count on. Support them. Support them now more than ever. Don't imagine that somehow they are going to survive, that somehow they're going to be able to hang in there and compete with the commercial media, who, you know, it's a blood sport for them. Putting Donald Trump on is a blood sport for them. They love this stuff. And, you know, they're not going to be repentant about it. They'll navel gaze for a few minutes, but they're not going to change their ways. And why should they? They're getting billions of dollars. Citizens United, that's a problem? Sure, you're not going to hear it reported on corporate media, because who's the beneficiary of Citizens United? Who gets all of those ad dollars? The same corporate media who we're all complaining about. So turn the tables. Support your favorite independent alternative media out there. Anyway,
yeah,
sorry for that.
I'm down to it. It's just, I mean, I think it's just all about money, and those independent radio stations, those independent, you know, broadcasting stations, they don't have the money to compete, and it's just a shame. And it's just, you know, I mean,
support your local nonprofit media outlet, your favorite independent media. Zane, I got to go. Thanks. Great point. I really appreciate it. Let me go to boy. I figured people would have something to say today. Denise in Thousand Oaks. Hey, Denise, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. First time even calling into a radio station, but I came across you and thought, oh, I've got something to say about that.
Well, thank you, Denise. What's on your mind?
Well, I was telling the other lady on the phone first that living out here in Reagan country, there were a lot of people who voted Republican. And I think the point I just wanted to make was I was seeing a lot of the same things happen in this election that I saw when Reagan was elected into office years ago. People were ready for a change. And it isn't that they're starstruck. It isn't that they're not as absolutely fed up with the media as every other demographic, too. We're ready for a change. And 8 years ago, that was the battle cry, change, for a completely different demographic of the population. And now it just seems like it's a dirty word for anybody who voted for Donald Trump, who said, I'm sick of the media. I'm sick of the establishment in Washington. I really don't believe any of you. So you know what? I'm going to vote the guy who's got the loudest bullhorn.
I'm going to blow the whole thing up, right?
Yeah,
we're good with that. Yeah.
I really get the sense that a lot of people had a basic, let's do something drastic. And they're not stupid people. A lot of educated, college-educated people voted for Donald Trump. It isn't that we're rednecks or anything like that, because quite frankly, if it is mostly white males who didn't finish college that were voting for Donald Trump, you'd have to put people like Bill Gates into that category too.
Did you, sounds like you were a Trump voter yourself, Denise?
Yes, absolutely.
You happy about it? You're very excited about this?
I think I am along the lines of a moderate voter saying, I hope for better. I literally am so disgusted with Washington. I figure he can't do any worse. He's a successful businessman. Let's see if somebody from the outside can shake things up enough to get something to happen. Because a lot of people watched the last Obama.
If you need surgery, are you going to go to an outsider who happens to be a barber?
You know, actually, I'm glad you said that. I did need surgery, and I was not able to get surgery that I needed here in the United States for the care that I wanted and the price. So actually, I did end up going outside of the United States for it. So,
I didn't say outside the United States. Are you going to go to a barber and have them do your? You say that he's a businessman and that somehow he will understand and be able to continue U.S. governance, world governance, because he's an outsider. He knows nothing about the job. He is absolutely unskilled, unqualified, does not know how to be president, does not understand policy. But you're good with that, right?
Right.
Okay.
I think that a lot of Republicans might look at that and say, well, the founding fathers weren't states, all statesmen. Some of them were literally farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I'm just saying intelligence, I guess you could say that you get more points for intelligence if you sit on Capitol Hill for 30 years first.
Well,
but that's not a guarantee.
Fair enough. It is not a guarantee, although she certainly had the actual qualifications for the job, understood the job, was certainly, whether you like her or not, probably more qualified than anybody who has ever run for it. Thanks, Denise. I do appreciate that call. We got to get out here in a minute. So my thanks to all of you who called in today. My apologies. I couldn't get to more of you. We'll be back tomorrow with the broadcast. We'll hopefully open the phones again up next week. I want to share this very quickly before we go from John Schwartz of The Intercept. In his article, Donald Trump Will Be President, This Is What We Do Next, he offers a list of 9 things to do and doesn't sugarcoat how horrible and scary and difficult this will be. Denise's feelings notwithstanding. But he does end with this one. Number 9, be good to yourself and everyone else. Liberals, leftists, and sundry have real and profound differences, but for the foreseeable future, we must hang together or we will surely hang separately, metaphorically or otherwise. Since we're stuck with each other, let's be kind, he writes, in a country engineered to treat everyone horrendously every day, demonstrating that we extend real respect to one another might even be a winning recruitment strategy, he notes. I offered similar sentiments at bradblog.com last night. I wrote, we are all much greater than this, but we survived 8 years of George W. Bush, most of us, and we will survive this too, together, because we must. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, and to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's broadcast or any other, you can download it for free at any time at bradblog.com. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com, and you can find me on the Facebooks and the Twitters at TheBradBlog. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.